Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
"I found Nirvana! I win!"
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $200 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Fourth and final hour on this rainy Thursday. Darren McFarland, Chase McCabe, Willie D is out in Denver. Tonight, it's the Predators and the Avalanche. 8 o'clock puck drop. I'll have pregame for you at 7. Everything heard right here on 102.5 The Game. This is game 2 of this 4-game road trip. It's a long road trip. It's 8 days, but only 4 games. So they had a game in Detroit on Monday against the Red Wings. Tonight against the Avalanche. They'll be up in Northern California to take on the Sharks on Saturday evening, so I'll have some late night hockey for you then. And then they finish things up in Vancouver on Tuesday night, which is just an absolutely beautiful place to visit. Elliot Freeman joins us every week at this time. Don't forget, we will have Predators tickets to give away after this interview with Elliot, and Elliot is brought to you every week by Carrie Zier Remax Elite. Elliot, how you doing?
Sorry to hear it's raining.
It's cold and rainy. By the way, it's November, so I guess we should expect that.
Yes. We had our first snowfall of the year last night here in Toronto, so you know that there's at least one place in North America you're better off than weather-wise.
Yeah, and we've actually kind of joked that there's a real shot on this road trip. The Preds will probably see snow on the ground. Probably a good chance of it, for sure.
In Vancouver, you get rain.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. You do get a lot of that. Although when I was there right before, the last time I was there was right before the 2010 Olympics. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of snow, definitely a lot of snow around. That was in probably late December. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's good trip.
It definitely is a good trip. So we've been talking a lot about the power play, something that we talked about a lot last year, but for all the wrong reasons. This year we're talking about it for all the right reasons. Things are definitely going the right direction. I mean, of course you add Matt Duchene, that helps.
Yeah.
Of course you add Dan Lambert, a guy that can just specifically coach and talk about, you know, doing things differently. So you've got things in place that you knew would probably help things, but I don't think we thought it would look like this quick. So I'll ask you, what have you seen? What do you like about this Preds power play through 15 games that, like I said, is going the right direction?
Well, one of the things you didn't mention there is you kind of gone away from bombing away from the points too, right?
Yep.
See, like, I love a good slap shot. Like, I still think when you've got you still have Ellis there, and, you know, but yet you had Subban, and years ago you had Weber. There's something to me that's fun as a guy who grew up when the slap shot was a big weapon in this league about, hey, when you see one of those three guys and the puck's going over there, you know what's going to happen. There's an excitement factor. And if you sit in a crowd and you know that you got a bomber and the puck's going over that way, there's a certain ooh and ah that comes out. Unfortunately, it's not that that's a dying art. It's just that teams are too good at defending it. And you know, there was an article on our website at Sportsnet this week about kind of the death and the decline of the slap shot. And you guys were one of the last teams that was doing it, especially a lot. And I understand because you had the weapons that allowed you to do it. But this league is going away from that. Teams can defend it too easily, especially when there's too many options for it on the power play. And, you know, I think that you guys realize that in addition to fresh ideas, in addition to some new personnel, as you've mentioned, I think that you had to go away from that as being your number one option. You simply can't do that anymore, and you guys have made the change.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, I was looking at a stat, Elliot, earlier today where they had, now this is per at least 20 minutes of, you know, the man advantage, the extra man, and Roman Josi, Matt Duchene, Victor Arvidsson, Ryan Johansson, Philip Forsberg, they ranked number one in the league as the top power play unit being effective. Toronto was actually 2, Boston 3, Capitals 4. But I had this discussion with Hal Gill, who's a part of our radio team, on one of the post games, and he brought up how the role has changed for Victor Arvidsson. Here's a little guy that last year, Elliot, was standing in front of the net, and we used to joke, call it the RV screen. He kind of the jump screen. Where now Victor has moved around. Now they got the big body Ryan Johansson in front trying to. So they've even kind of moved some parts around, and that seems to be working as well.
Well, what's the old Albert Einstein line? Like, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again when it's not working.
Yeah, and expecting a different result. Yeah.
Yes, and well, as you can see, I'm not exactly much for my old English lessons or anything like that. I can't remember these quotes exactly, but it was something like that. You know, but I mean that. I think that is exactly the way you guys attacked it in the off season. You know, we can't keep doing the same thing. We've tried. And I think what it's proof is, even if you have really talented players, and you guys do have really talented players, if you do the same thing in this league over and over again, people are going to shut it down. And you do things in this league that proven that they don't work, they're going to shut it. People are going to shut it down. Now, you know, I worked last night, Edmonton, St. Louis, and Edmonton early in the year had a killer power play. They had James Neal, who you guys know really well, right in front of the net. And they were getting the puck to him, and he was scoring or creating good chances. Well, now teams have seen that for a month. They're not letting you get the puck to James Neal in the front of the net, and Edmonton has to change what they do. You guys tried some things. They didn't work. The league adjusted to it. You didn't make the change. It didn't work. And now finally, at the end of last season, you guys all sat down and said, we got to make the change. And it's not only getting new players, it's trying a new way of attacking. It's putting the same players, as you mentioned, in different positions. And you know what's going to happen is teams are watching your power play now, and they're saying, okay, this is what's working for Nashville, and pretty soon we're going to start taking that away. The way a penalty kill generally works is you find the one or two things that another team does well on their power play, and you say, we're not letting them beat us with that. So whatever's working for you guys right now, your opponents, Colorado tonight, they're saying, we're not going to let them beat us with that. So now you're going to have to readjust to whatever Colorado and these other teams try to shut what's working down.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I was watching your – Predators had a little matinee hockey this past Saturday. And so Saturday night I was watching your all's coverage, and you guys were talking during one of the intermissions. And it was about the Predators division. And you talked about Winnipeg, which you've discussed with us as well. And when you look around the division right now, you know, Colorado and the Preds will play tonight. You've got two of the big three out of the lineup for a while for Colorado. Yeah. How will that affect them? Tarasenko is going to be out for 5 months before he's reevaluated for the Blues. You wonder long-term how will that will affect them. And then you've got just like what are Winnipeg, Dallas, Chicago, and Minnesota. When you look at the Predators division right now, what do you see through the first month plus of the season?
Well, I see some surprises. There's no question. I mean, I think a lot of us thought that this was going to be a tough year for Minnesota, and that's kind of exactly what's happened. There were a lot of varying opinions on Chicago. I didn't think they were going to be a playoff team, but I didn't think that they were going to be like this. This has been much more of a disappointing and brutal start for the Blackhawks than I think most people expected. And that organization is not exactly known for its patience. I think we're all kind of wondering exactly what's going to come out of that. You know, Winnipeg, they've really battled. I think they've shown a lot of competition, but they've got a lot of injuries. They got a lot of guys missing. And it's like they have had their whole year this year. Like Blake Wheeler was at their practice this morning, and he said, like, it just seems like there's something else every day. And he looked at the reporter and said, you have no idea. So they are really fighting, and I give them a lot of credit. I think they've played really hard, but they are fighting to keep their heads above water. And, you know, St. Louis, I know they got the big injury there to Tarasenko, I watched them in Vancouver and Edmonton, who were at the top of their division last two nights. They still play hard, man. Like, I don't care who's out of that lineup. That team plays hard and they defend. They're going to be a lot of trouble for you. And as for Colorado, I think they're going to be fine. They were great before the injuries. They've lost two key players. They are going to be fine when everybody gets healthy. And I'll tell you something else. They're going to swing for the fences in terms of who's available later in the year. They got a lot of assets. They got a lot of young players. I think the Avalanche think they can win it this year, and I think they're going to go for it.
Yeah, that's number 13 on his 31 thoughts.
Very
Sportsnet.ca.
Nice. By the way, do you think the three of us, Elliot, did you see how the Blues won in overtime? I know you did. Three on 0. You got to love a 3-on-0 in overtime. Do you think the three of us could have finished it off?
First of all, I thought they were going to blow it for a sec. They looked so surprised. They didn't know what to do. But I'll tell you a funny story. And so I'm not going to tell you who it is. He's a broadcaster in the league, and you probably know him. But he was once working, before he really hit it big as a broadcaster, he was working behind the scenes as a stats guy, like a lot of us did. And he was in a booth with Kelly Rudy, the former Kings goalie who I work with now. And he said to Kelly, when Kelly was retired at the time, I think I could score on you if I took a breakaway. And Kelly got mad. Like, he got really pissed off. Kelly's a great guy, but he's got a lot of pride. And he's like, you think you could score on me? Like, I played 15 years in the NHL. Because normally Kelly wouldn't react like that, but the way the guy said it was really dismissive. And I said to him after, you got really upset at that guy. And he goes, hey, I take a lot of pride in the fact I played 15 years. You think you could walk onto the ice and score on me? No chance. So no offense, guys, but that guy Markstrom, he's pretty competitive. Not a chance you three are scoring on him.
That was a very honest and correct answer.
Elliot Friedman here with us on Darren Donick and Chase every week, brought to you by Carrie Zire, Remax Elite. And another thing that you have in your 31 thoughts on sportsnet.ca is Pierre Dorion, the general manager for the Ottawa Senators, actually made a trip to Los Angeles and to Nashville recently. I know that started up the rumor mill, as you say in the column. What was he looking to do?
Well, anytime somebody shows up where they're not supposed to show up, we're all making stuff up, right? Like, we all got to fill airtime. So, I asked around. I asked him, what was that? And, he said, and I have reported, and they've admitted they're looking for forwards. They're looking for guys with some experience because they got a lot of kids, and, they don't want their kids to get crushed. And I asked him about it, and he said, look, we had 6 days off. They played on Sunday, and they didn't have another game until Saturday. I don't get a chance to see a lot of the West Coast teams, so we went to see L.A., Vancouver, and you guys at home in that great game against Calgary. And, he just said, I wanted to see some guys I don't normally get a chance to see. He said, I'm not making any deals out of it. There's nothing happening. Now, there had been a rumbling going around that maybe they would consider bringing back Turris, who, as you guys know, is on the block. And he wouldn't talk about it with me. He doesn't like to discuss those kinds of rumors. But I did hear from somebody else that that's not going to be happening. So I just kind of put that one to bed before it got any real legs.
So we just hit the two-year anniversary of the trade that sent Duchesne to Ottawa and Kyle Turris here. Ironically, now they're both on the same team. And you mention, I know it's crazy that it in a short amount of time that happened, but you do mention that the Kyle Turris being on the block. Gut feeling, do you think before the deadline David Poile makes that move?
I think it's going to be tough. I think you guys would like to. As you've got some business you've got to deal with at the end of the year. I mean, hey, why was P.K. Subban traded? You knew you had business to do with Roman Josi and Matt Duchesne, you were hoping at the time. And, now at the end of this year, you've got some business to do with, one or both of Michael Granlund and Craig Smith. And I think they know that they would like to clear that space if they can. But it's going to be a tough one. I think that's going to be a hard one to move. I think Turris is taking steps. Like I told you guys, the Kyle Turris I watched last year, I don't know what that was. That's not the Kyle Turris I know. He's taken steps. He's been better. But, he's going to, with the contract, he's going to have to be consistently better before David Poile can work his wizardry on that one.
Let's have our weekly Dustin Byfuglien update, because you also go in depth with that and everything going on in Winnipeg with him. I mean, are we going to see him back in a Jets jersey at some point this season? I assume after the first of the year?
Well, I think they want him back. Like, one of the things, I talked about this on the show last Saturday night, and I said that it was uncertain as to whether or not both sides wanted the marriage to resume. I have since been told, as I alluded to in my column, that I believe the Jets want him back. Like, no matter what's happened, they know how good he is. The GM there, Kevin Cheveldayoff, and Byfuglien have long had a really good relationship. That's obviously been tested here, but it was very strong before. And I think the team wants him back. I think the biggest question is, you know, what he wants. And you guys know, and all the listeners out there know, there's a reason why people always say you don't lend money from or lend money to your friends or your family. Because the only thing that really destroys a friendship like that or a relationship like that is money. Unfortunately, it ruins things. And I just don't know what the future is going to hold, but I think the team really wants him back if they can get this all sorted out. The problem is, I think the teams are really out of it, and Dub Bufflin's really out of it. This is shaping up to be a league and players association thing to finally sort this out.
Elliot, good stuff as always. We appreciate it. Have a great rest of your week, and we'll talk to you next Thursday.
All right, you guys too. Have a great weekend.
All right, that is Elliot Friedman, brought to you every week. That's presented by Carey Zire RE/MAX Elite. When we come back, we will ask a question from that interview and give you a chance to win Predators and Blackhawks tickets. That's all on the other side of Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.